19. A Sudden Revelation. An agitated sleep had put Lyme on edge. He awoke to find Typhon sitting where he'd left him, like a child who had been scolded by a teacher. He didn't even know if the monster ever really slept or even breathed like a human, and he never let himself get close enough to check for a heartbeat. He did know that the creature didn't bleed. After that woman had shot Typhon, there were holes in his clothes, but no blood. For all Lyme knew, the bullets were sitting in the creature's chest, rusting to bits. Lyme ordered breakfast. He had already been to the Sansolve church for the third time that week to look at their records, leaving Typhon on a bench near the town wall. There were no Hébert's who had arrived in 1858. He was at a dead end. He would telegraph his master and receive his orders. Perhaps the great mind that was the guildmaster would have an answer. After breakfast, Lyme took one last walk around town with Typhon a footstep behind. They certainly attracted attention, but the townspeople only watched them timidly. He wondered what their reaction would be if he commanded Typhon to start tearing them to pieces. Now that would be a show. Alas, he was not here for such frolicking. They walked along the ramparts of the citadel. The stone had fallen in several places. Walls that had been built to keep out the enemy, that had lasted nearly 1,000 years, were crumbling to pieces. He mulled over what he knew of the parents. They had plied their trade at markets in Paris. The father had been relatively unknown in Nanterre. They had abandoned their child at Notre Dame and had disappeared. Why? The church documents clearly said that the Héberts had intended to move from Nanterre to Montreuil-sur-Mer, but not a single person in their new home remembered the Héberts arriving 16 years ago. It was a puzzle. They'd given birth to an abomination and then had given that child to Notre-Dame de Paris, the most revered of all churches in France. Why not their local parish? Instead, they had travelled a small distance to the cathedral and had left from there to Montreuil. Were they driven out of Nanterre? Superstitious, fearful people often saw the devil in anyone malformed. More to the point, did the Héberts themselves experience some sort of religious shame? Did they believe they had given birth to a demon? That his disfigurement was a sign of their own great sin? It was possible. Religious belief had always been a curiosity to Lyme. He worshipped his knife, nothing else. But his mother had been God-fearing and had often talked of spirits and ghosts and demons, the demons inhabiting her only son. It wasn't hard to imagine a mother who believed the devil had played a role in creating Modo, a monster baby. Short of suffocating it, which would have been a sin, why not give it to the church? The priests were the experts in exorcism. Then the Héberts would come to Montreuil and change their names to escape the past. But he had visited all the potters listed in the Montreuil church records, and none could have been Modo's parents. Only those who lived outside the walls weren't in those records. That gave him pause. What had the woman he'd seen yesterday said when she saw Typhon? Is he an abomination? Cursed by the devil? Would a woman who believed such ugliness was a curse of the devil abandon a child? Would she and her husband move to the outskirts of a fortified town to hide from their shame? Typhon, you blighted old troll. You've given me the answer, Lyme said. The monster said nothing. Typhon, return to the inn with me. We have a telegram to send. Then we'll get out of this ugly town.